peer down through the small and smelly space between the wall and his armpit. All he could see were shreds of fog and a faint glow. "You sure?" he said. "You run around rat holes, you learns to see good in the dark," said wee Mad Arthur. "Otherwise you're dead." Something hissed somewhere below Colin's feet. With his one booted foot and his toes, he scrabbled at the brickwork. "He's having a wee bit of trouble," said wee Mad Arthur conversationally. "Looks like he's put his knees on the wrong way round." Dorfel sat hunched in the abandoned cellar where the golems had met. Occasionally the golem raised its head and hissed. Red light spilled from its eyes. If something had streamed back down through the glow, soared through the eye sockets into the red sky beyond, there would be... Dorfel huddled under the glow of the universe. Its murmur was a long way off, muted, nothing to do with Dorfel. The words stood around the horizon, reaching all the way to the sky. And a voice said quietly, "You own yourself." Dorfel saw the scene again and again, saw the concerned face, hand reaching up, filling its vision, felt the sudden icy knowledge. "Own yourself." It echoed off the words and then rebounded, and then rolled back and forth, increasing in volume until the little world between the words was gripped in the sound. "Golem must have a master." The letters towered against the world, but the echoes poured around them, blasting like a sandstorm. Cracks started and then ran zigzagging across the stone, and then the words exploded. Great slabs of them, mountain-sized, crashed in showers of red sand. The universe poured in. Dorfel felt the universe pick it up and bowl it over and then lift it off its feet and up. And now the golem was among the universe. It could feel it all around. The purr of it, the busyness, the spinning complexity of it, the roar. There were no words between you and it. You belonged to it. It belonged to you. You couldn't turn your back on it because there it was in front of you. Dorfel was responsible for every tick and swerve of it. You couldn't say, "I had orders." You couldn't say, "It's not fair." No one was listening. There were no words. You owned yourself. Dorfel orbited a pair of glowing suns and hurtled off again. Not "thou shalt not." Say, "I will not." Dorfel tumbled through the red sky, then saw a dark hole ahead. The golem felt it dragging at him and streamed down through the glow, and the hole grew larger and sped across the edges of Dorfel's vision. The golem opened his eyes. "No master." Dorfel unfolded in one movement and stood upright. He reached out one arm and extended a finger. The golem pushed the finger easily into the wall where the argument had taken place, and then dragged it carefully through the splintering brickwork. It took him a couple of minutes, but it was something Dorfel felt needed to be said. Dorfel completed the last letter and poked a row of three dots after it. Then the golem walked away, leaving behind "no master, dot, dot, dot." A blue overcast from the cigars hid the ceiling of the smoking room.
"Ah, yes, Captain Carrot," said a chair. "Yes, indeed. But is he the right man?"
"He's got a birthmark shaped like a crown. I've seen it," said Nobby helpfully.
"But his background?"
"He was raised by dwarfs," said Nobby. He waved his brandy glass at a waiter. "Same again, mister."
"I shouldn't think dwarfs could raise anyone very high," said another chair. There was a hint of laughter.
"Rumours and folklore," someone murmured. "This is a large and busy and above all complex city. I'm afraid that having a sword and a birthmark are not much in the way of qualifications. We would need a king from a lineage that is used to command."
"Like yours, my lord."
There was a sucking, draining noise as Nobby attacked the fresh glass of brandy.
"Ah, oh, I'm used to command, all right," he said, lowering the glass. "People are always ordering me around."
"We would need a king who had the support of the great families and major guilds of the city."
"People like Carrot," said Nobby.
"Oh, the people."
"Anyway, whoever'd got the job would have his work cut out," said Nobby. "Old Vetinari's always pushing paper. What kind of fun is that? It's no life, sitting up all hours, worrying, never a moment to yourself."
He held out the empty glass.
Same again, me old...